Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Shalom, Haberim. Shalom. Yes, our previous podcast was cut a little bit short, some technological difficulties, but still we continue to rise, going up.
And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room. They went up into an upper room.
So here, Wisdom Wednesday, here we're at the midway day of the Shavuot right here on the Ed and the Irid. Give thanks, brothers and sisters. Once again, our previous podcast with the T to T was cut short there in the Midrash on Psalm 50. But here we have another psalm, today's daily psalm. We have the seventh psalm, going to rise up the chant. Also, we have the fourth day, Aliyah, right here, for this 19th sabbatical study for Teruma, gifts, contribution, or in the KJV, offerings.
Glory to the
Salamun Mal Arsu
These are also the proverbs of Salomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out.
Wisdom Wednesday. Yes, here. Wisdom Wednesday on the Ed and the Irid right here. Look a Rhema tune right here.
Wisdom and knowledge stretch forth her hands. Unto you, O children, I cry. All the words of my mouth speak righteousness. All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the works of Jehovah, or man you will surely fail. Your folly is your reward. Better a dinner of herb where love is than feasting where there is wrath. All the words of my mouth speak righteousness. All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the works of Jehovah. Amen, you will surely fail. Oh yeah, nah, nah. Right, for this is the time that will tell, when the righteous ones shall stand up strong. Oh, why did the heathen rage? All the words of my mouth speak righteousness. All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the works of Jehovah. Amen. Sing the dark sayings of old. Doth not wisdom and knowledge stretch forth her hands? Unto you, O children, I cry. All the words of my mouth speak righteousness. All the days of my life will tell. Take heed of the words of Jehovah. Amen, you will surely fail.
Beit Haseb. Greetings and welcome, family, to this special episode of Wisdom Wednesday with the Rastamandem here on Discipleship Radio.
The poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant's ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household, and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth the vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. The end of the Proverbs. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. For they shall be an oration of thy father, and for my son. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. And forsake not the law of thy mother. And forsake not the law of thy mother. The law of thy mother. The law.
Shubha shubha day, shubha shubha, shubha 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 day.
My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother.
What do you see the Babylon system is?
Babylon system is a vampire, deceiving the people day by day, building church and university. Because now, when you say the church now, the church, the Bible is here, the Bible is here, that in Christ coming, you be the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, right? No, when we look at this, the eyes blast it.
Hent by the king, watch them on the ring when me fly down far. We step on the beast and kick down with him like a slide down bar. We burn in the system, we tell the youth if we fight gun far. Uplifting Mrs. String, tell us the last sea, I love star. We love Wally. Babylon is system falling, but this is just the beginning. Beginning of the grand finale. Finale because eventually we get the cause. Now we stand up tall and we gang up cause. United we stand divided, we fall and we love.
Oh, walk with the Prince of Peace, Philosophy of the leader. Praise his feet to the Kings of Kings, Alpha and Omega.
Oh, their face and bloodshed on their shoulder. Turn from your sinful ways before lightning strike all over. Well, if a atrocity where your cars can get a yacht, then you have the other city, if you come give me gun for shoot. And I chat all you like the city, well this is the ugly truth. When you bring all the guns, come give me give it to my recruit. Big revolution, one time the guns them turn for the old politician. We bring it come in the first place, I should have fun education. We make the youth them learn, instead of buy ammunition. And you won't come run the next turn, go run up under your bed. Boy, put your hand on your head, me terrible and me dread. Corrupted politicians be dead, boy. Want to coral yard, don't have to valley yard. Come like a pre every garden, no revolution breach every garden. Go put this up in the green, me want it breach every reader. If you not live like Haile Selassie, you not fit to be chronic leader. Walk with the Prince of Peace, Philosophy of the leader. Praise this be to the Kings of Kings, Alpha and Omega. Up until my people are free, as it was in the beginning, so shall it be. In the last days when the youth them are free, dread and terrible. Give thanks and praise for the King of Peace. Praise his feet to the Prince of Peace. Master, give thanks and praise to Alpha and Omega. Empress many
Is that the best way to reach people in your opinion?
I am not trying to reach people, I am what I am.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more people like me out there, which is my people. So I'm not trying to reach a strange people. The people that I'm reaching is my own people.
Mm-hmm.
We're all know the same thing. We're coming this time as our people. It's not nobody else people, but our people.
If tomorrow is Judgment Day,
original justice man, champion song,
when I'm standing on the front line, when the Lord asks me what I give it a sound, I would say, Jaja, you know I'll kill them for you. I'll kill them for you. I'll kill them for you.
Every city fear complete, every intellectual institution is only a set of interaction, it's only a body of relations, human relations. So each one is a subset, you see, of human family. There's been enough examples, you see, of scientific envy. Invented everything and can't harness their emotion. Feeling bigger and bigger on a falsified foundation. There's a few worldviews, but the root of their intention. Snobbish, elitist aspirations. Dismissed creations are evidences. I'm watching them 360 to be vegan. It's a binary comedic conscience, trying to avoid embarrassment. No. Deep space eyes and skin, deep water eyes and skin, and the hope to bring back pictures with the same thing from the atom of a carbon hurricane. And the spiral in the knowledge of the surface looks like cell replication of reversing. And the knowledge that remains still exists, and the still of the eye of originality. The tetrahedral that we tripped up the sea with, that the high speeds of the molecule work with, rushing to the singularity structure. kill among the insects. Kill among the insects. As the abstract thought has chemical representation and tangible MRI. So it feels when you work coding to crystallize. Then the sitting in the critical ruling place of crime. And the instant moral was long ago put aside. To reserve space for discovery of patents and copyrights. For there's a rich history of animals used in disguise. Of the prey and of the predators alike. Must seem to them to be alive. Studying everything that needs not sunlight. Everything that needs not sunlight. You just surprise it.
So I, children, sing and praise thy power, even the first power of the Holy Trinity, to the Maui, Haile Selassie. My name ready, my name ready, my name ready, my name ready, my name ready.
Psalm 94. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth, render a reward to the proud. Lord, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces thy people, O Lord, and afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the God of Jacob regard it. Understand, ye brutish among the people, and ye fools, when will ye be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers, or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. When I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, my people.
Cause we no fear evil, no wicked man. Lightning and thunder in a Babylon. Them don't know them judgment can come any second. Hey, there's no weapon we can stop at the Armageddon. So we all in Jamaica we strong. To bless them today, to see another one. Hey, when you don't know the repercussion, and you just keep on doing wrong, every day we just send come. You're not aware of the reciprocal. Who's gonna save you from crushing on a Babylon once when it falls? The better you give is can't stop at the jam of Gideon. I thought we hold this jam and we strong. To bless another day, to see another one. Hey, be no weapon. Come against me, no wicked man.
For her sins have reached unto heaven, that ye be not partakers of her sins. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people, my people. My...
The Brit Chadasha Chadish Kidan Renewed Covenant Reading for RSS number 18, Mishpatim, Judgments, from Matthew chapter 5, verse 33 through 42, and Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through 11. We begin B'Shem Ha'ab Ve'Habein Ve'Ruach HaKadosh Yahweh Ahad, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, He who be, who He be, the One. Matthew chapter 5, verse 33, Lamed Gimel, verse 34, Lamed Dalet, verse 35, Lamed Hey. Od Shemaitem ki ne'amar la rishonim lo tishaba la shakr veshalem la yahwa shavuoteka wa ani omer lakem lo tishbau kol shavua lo bashmaim ki kisei Elohim heima velo ba'aretz ki hadom raglayu hi ולא בירושלים, כי היא קריית מלך רב. Again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform to Yahweh thine oaths. But I say to you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is Elohim's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard that it has been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father that is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Matthew chapter 17, verse 1, Aleph, verse 2, Beit, verse 3, Gimel. U miketz sheshet yamim, lakach lo, Yeshua, et Petros, ve'et Yaakov, ve'et Yohanan, achyu, v'yalim badad, al har gaboah, v'yistane le'aynehem, ויזכירו פניו כשמש ובגדיו כאור הלבינו והנה נראו אליהם משה ואליהו והם מדברים איתו. And after 6 days, Jesus, Yeshua, taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said to Yeshua, Adonai, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud that said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face, and were sore afraid. And Yeshua came and touched them, and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man, save Yeshua only. And as they came down from the mountain, Yeshua charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man, until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? And Yeshua answered and said to them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Kabor Lakalu, Kabor Ladimtu, Kabor Lakhailu, Kabor Laketamawi, Haile Selassie, Be Jesus Christos Sim. Glory to word, glory to sound, glory to power. Glory to Abinu Melkenu, our Father, our King, the first power of the Trinity, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Yes, I, Rastafari.
Kid a go crumble, Babi Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them chimble. Live by Babi Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them chimble. Live by the two around the wicked a go crumble, Babi Bible. Shout up two songs and the wicked them chimble. Live by the two around the wicked a go crumble.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong.
Shabbat strong. Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me? O children of Israel, O children of Israel.
Shimela, Shimela, Agarat in Jerusalem, Dana.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Adonai Echad.
Shalom, Chabarim, Shalom. Here we have some basic questions for the 18th sabbatical study, Shabbat Strong for Shabbat, Mishpatim, Sabbath judgments, the judgments, HaMishpatim, the ordinances, the verdicts or the sentences. So here, 14 basic questions right here for the 18th sabbatical study. We touched on the preliminary, the pre-Qs, the preliminary questions. And so here are some of the basic questions building on the preliminary questions for the 18th sabbatical study for Shabbat, HaMishpatim. So here, H4C, give thanks, John J. Parsons, Hebrew for Christians, and go over some of these basic questions and going to explain and detail some areas that are not touched in some of the basic questions. But question number one, following questions related to the contents of the 18th sabbatical study, Shabbat Mishpatim, Sabbath judgments, ordinances as translated, more correctly, sentences, verdicts. Question one, what are two cases? What two cases called for an Israelite, a B'nai Yisrael, son of Israel, being put into scripturally correct servitude or, for translation purposes, quote, bondage? But often people refer to this as slavery. Even here in the notes for H4C, as most Christians and Jews nowadays, when looking at the scripts, they insert this word slave and slavery, although it does not exist in the text, the Hebrew text. The exact word is not the proper word for slavery if we would understand linguistics. So we're going to refer to what the 1611 KJV Bibles refer to. It didn't refer to slave or slavery. It referred to servitude, right? One might say forced labor or bondage. And there's differences. We've touched on it before, but let's move forward right here. Reread question number one, basic question number one for the 18th sabbatical study. Basic question, what two cases called for a son of Israel, a Israelite, B'nai Yisrael, a Yisraeli, being put into servitude, being put into servitude? According to the Torah reading and feeding here for the 18th, HaMishpatim, the two cases are, one, he is so poor that he sells himself, puts himself into employment. Now, in the translation, we use terms like sell, right, but there's a context to these particular things. So one is so poor that he sells his servitude, his labor. He puts his labor, right, for sale, for servitude, for employment. We're speaking about a form of employment. So instead of the sense of, well, you working for yourself, right, you are so poor or your financial situation is such that you have to work for someone else. This is the exact context here, right, scripturally, according to the Torah speaking. So the first case that called for a son of Israel, a B'nai Yisrael, being put into servitude, not slavery, servitude. Let's not confuse, right, these two terms. Let's not confuse the two realities. Case one, number one, he is so poor that he sells his servitude, his service. Secondarily, he was convicted, right, a convicted thief or convicted of a crime, a thief, and therefore sentenced to service, sentenced to work off, right, the debt, not just the debt, it's not a debt here. Remember, he's a thief, right? So if a thief was caught and tried and found guilty, right, and said, okay, it's true that you stole someone's ox or someone's property, right, and now make them whole, right? Shalem, right? Shilem, shalem, to pay, to make peace, make the person whole that you have been now convicted, tried and convicted of stealing from. And one says, well, I can't afford it. Therefore, this convicted thief is now sentenced to service, to work off, right, work off what they had stolen. So these are the two cases where an Israelite, right, we could say a citizen, an Israelite, a B'nai Yisrael, is put into servitude. One is so poor, they sell their service, their servitude. Two, convicted thief, sentenced into service. Question number two, how many years was a Hebrew servant? Right, the scripture says the Hebrew servant, it uses the term servant, right? Not slave. How many years was a Hebrew servant required to serve? Not slave, serve. In fact, when we read the Torah and we understand the emphasis of terms, right? Slavery or a slave condition is strictly prohibited according to the Hebrew Torah. Question 2. How many years was a Hebrew servant required to serve before he would be set free? According to this Torah reading and feeding right here, 18th sabbatical study, Shabbat HaMishpatim, Mishpatim, answer, 6 years, this is the number of years, set free on and in the 7th year. Now note that the Eved Ibri, right, the Hebrew servant, the Eved Ibri was more like an indentured servant. When we read the context, we recognize, well, this here can be brought out as the Hebrew indentured servant, the Eved Ibri. The Hebrew servant, the Eved Ibri, was more like an indentured servant. All servants were to be released on the Yovel, right, which is the Jubilee, the Yovel year, even if the servant had not yet served 6 years. Question number 3. If a servant, not a slave, if a servant did not want or seek to go free, leave that particular service, what rite or what ritual? So here's what we see in HaTorah, some of the ancient customs and traditions, right, were also accepted in the Torah of Moshe, right? So here's an example, question 3. If a servant did not want or seek or like to go free on their own, what rite or ritual was prescribed? Prescribed. Question number 3. Well, the servant would testify, the Eved Ibri, right, the Hebrew servant, the Eved Ibri, would testify before HaShoftim, the judges, called here the Elohim, HaElohim. Take note. The servant would testify before the Elohim, that is to say, before the judges, the Shoftim, and afterward his master, his master would pierce his ear at the door of Beito, of his house. This is the ancient rite or ritual here if a servant did not seek, did not like, did not want to go free. Question 4. What crimes, according to Shabbat HaMishpatim, Sabbath, the judgments, the verdicts, sentences, what crimes were punished by death? In other words, what crimes were capital offenses? Question 4, basic questions. Shabbat Mishpatim. 1, striking or cursing one's parents, one's father and one's mother. Striking or cursing one's parents. Secondarily, murder. Thirdly, kidnapping. Fourthly, bestiality. And fifthly, what is referred to as sorcery, right? Or forbidden, we could say spiritual, right, practices, i.e. sorcery. This is also a study and discussion issue right here, right, as we just did a vlog on Obia, asking the question, is Obia, right, in the Bible, what is meant by these particular spirituality? Ain't nothing new under the sun, but these are, according to HaTorah, right? And according to Shabbat HaMishpatim, here in the Torah of Moshe, as referred to as the Law of Moses, question 4, what crimes were punished by death or the death penalty? Capital punishment, 1, striking or cursing one's parents, 2, murder, 3, kidnapping, 4, bestiality, and 5, sorcery. Question 5, does a person have to pay for damages if they were done accidentally? Does a person have to pay? Right? Yishalem, yishalem, from shalom, from shalom, shalom, as we have with shalom, the root shalom. We have shalom and we have yishalem, to pay, to make whole. Does a person have to pay yishalem for damages if they were done accidentally? Question. Answer. Yes. Cain. Yes. Yes, though in the case of involuntary homicide, right, what one might refer to as involuntary manslaughter homicide, there's a designated, quote, city of refuge. A city of refuge was provided. A city of refuge was provided. Question 6. If two men got into a fight and one was injured, what was the penalty upon the other who hurt the other? He had to pay the other's medical bills. And this is interesting here. This is where we get the essence of Western, even Gentile, some things in common law, right? You know, in common law. This is the origin, the historical, and the point of origin even for what we have in certain laws today in this so-called Western Gentile world through that so-called Judeo-Christian Western Gentile tradition, right? Here we have question number 6. If two men got into a fight and one was injured, what was the penalty upon the one who had hurt the other? Well, he had to pay the other's medical bills and also pay, this is the key here, pay for the loss of his wages, the loss of his earnings while not working. He had to pay the other's medical bills and also pay for the loss of his wages, right, to compensate for that loss of what's called time, that loss of wages and income while not working. Question 7. If an ox gored a person to death, what was the penalty upon the owner? And what if the owner had been warned that his ox had gored in the past? So these are two questions here. Question 7. First one, if an ox gored a person to death, what was the penalty upon the owner? And what if the owner had been warned that the ox had gored in the past? Well, in the first case, if the ox gored a person to death, what was the penalty upon the owner? In the first case, the ox is killed. The ox is killed and the owner is not liable. In the first case, an ox goring a person to death, penalty upon the owner. The ox is killed and the owner is liable. Second case, what if the owner had been warned that the ox had gored in the past? Well, in this second case, both the ox and the owner are killed or put to death. Or else the ox is killed and a financial penalty imposed on the owner. Question 8. Restitution for damages. Restitution. Right? Shalom, shalem, shalom, yishalem. Payment. Making whole. Bringing down the sense of making peace, to make one's whole. Restitution. Restitution for damages is a Torah principle. In general terms, how? How is HaTorah, the Torah principle of restitution? How is this principle of restitution, we could say even compensation, right, payment, restitution applied? In general terms, how is the principle, the Torah principle of restitution applied? Greater compensation, answer, greater compensation must be given to the, greater compensation must be given than the original loss. Again, the principle, greater compensation must be given than the original loss. For example, a thief must pay double what was stolen. So the greater compensation must be given, right? Greater compensation must be given than the original loss, and this means that the thief must pay double what was stolen, right? The idea of ein tachat ein, or eye for an eye, it means to pay for physical damages, paying for physical damages, yishalem, making peace, paying for physical damages. This includes, according to HaTorah, this includes pain, healing, shame, and disability. So the idea of an eye for an eye, ein tachat ein, eye for an eye, it means to pay, right, to pay, lishalem, to pay for physical damages, including pain, healing, shame, and disability. Next question, question 9 right here, Chaburim. What is the law, the Torah, the direction, instruction, what is the law about finding lost items? What is the law about finding lost items? According to HaTorah, you shall return it. Find a lost item, you shall return it to the original owner. If known, you must return it to the original owner. None of that finders, keepers, losers. No. The law about finding lost items, according to HaTorah, Jah's direction, instruction, is that you shall return it. Find a lost item, you shall return it to the original owner, if known. Question 10. Is it permissible to charge interest on a loan to your needy brother? Is it permitted? Is it permissible to charge interest, or what's called in biblical, old English, biblical terms, referred to as usury? Usury, right? Is it permissible to charge interest or usury on a loan to your needy brother, to your brother in need? No. No. According to Shemot, Exodus 22, 25, point of reference. If you lend someone money and take their garment as a pledge, you know, as a pledge, or one might even say like as a kind of a collateralized, you know, item, a collateralized item. So if you lend someone money and take their garment as a pledge, however, you must return it before nightfall. You must return the pledge. You must return the garment, for example, before nightfall. Question 11. What is the law, the Torah, or in layman terms, the direction instruction regarding non-Israelite, non-Beit Israel, Beit Israel, strangers? You say non-Yehudi strangers, but what is the Torah direction instruction? What's the law regarding non-Israelite, non-Yisraeli, non-Israelite strangers, or the gerim, what we refer to as gerim, non-Yisrael, Israel strangers, widows, and orphans? What is the Torah regarding non, we're speaking about the others, non-Yisrael, non-Israelite strangers, the gerim, the widows, and orphans? You cannot, shall not, right, will not, right, and cannot wrong or oppress or downpress them. You cannot wrong, do wrong to them and say, oh, they're not an Israelite, so therefore you can downpress them. You can do wrong to them. No, you cannot wrong or oppress or downpress them if they are mistreated, according to HaTorah, Yahuwah Atzmo, Jehovah himself will exact vengeance, will exact nekama, will exact vengeance, according to Shemot, according to Exodus. Exodus chapter 22, verse 21. Question 12. What is a sabbatical year? What is a sabbatical year? A sabbatical year is a year of rest. A year of rest is given to the land. So a sabbatical year, first point, a sabbatical year is a year of rest given to the land, given to her, given to who? Given to the land. A year of rest given to the land after 6 years of use, after 6 years of service. There is that seventh year, right? And that seventh year is called the sabbatical, a sabbatical year. And a sabbatical year is a year of rest, an entire year of rest given to the land after 6 years of service. This is called the Shemitah cycle, what's known as the Shemitah cycle. Question 13. What are the three required holidays? Three times in the year. What are the three required holy days, the three required holidays? And this is an interesting note right here, Chavarim, Rastafari Chavarim, because we find this also in Hiwatena, Ye Ethiopia Erimja. Find this also in My Life and Ethiopia's Progress by Negusa Negesk, Kadamawi Haile Selassie, the King Messiah, Kadamawi Haile Selassie. We find him also referring, right, to the same principle. And this principle concerns the three, right, the three required holidays, the three required holy days. Here in chapter 4 of the autobiography of Emperor Haile Selassie, all right, Emperor Haile Selassie first, in chapter 4 right here. This chapter, just as a point of reference here for the Chabarim, chapter 4. Chapter 4, that is entitled right here, about my appointment to the governorship of Harar and its province. In parentheses, it has 1910. And at the end of the chapter, there's a proclamation, an awaj. And I watch. And here he points to both the Sabbath, hitherto work on the Sabbath was forbidden. Rastafari Kedemawi Haile Selassie, as Rastafari says this, hitherto work on the Sabbath was forbidden. Now you will, in fact, be punished when found working on the Sabbath in this Awaj proclamation, dated circa the 21st of July, 1913, and at the end, near the end of this proclamation, it reads, for the three annual festivals, that is the Mezcal, the Lidet, and Fasica. Mezcal, finding the true cross, Lidet, the birth, and Fasica, or Pesah, corresponding to Passover. This is a reference here in the autobiography of Kedemawi Haile Selassie to Orit Zetzeat. Orit, the Torah, Zeh of Zeat, the coming out. Or the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. Exodus chapter 23, verse 14. So here in the fourth chapter of book one of Hiwatena, Ye Ethiopia Rimja, My Life in Ethiopia's Progress, we have a direct reference here to this Shabbat HaMishpatim, to Senbet Sarat, right? Sarat, Saratu, Sarat, right? To this judgment ordinance. But here, once again, what are the three required holidays? Pesach, or Fasica, Passover. Shavuot, or Shavuot, what's known as Pentecoste or Pentecost, or we call it the Feast of Weeks, right? Because Shavuot is weeks in the plural sense of weeks, counting 7 weeks, the 2 sevens, 7 times 7. And on the morrow after the 7th Shabbat, we have Shavuot, we have Harvest, or also known as Pentecost. And we have Sukkot, Tabernacles, Sukkot. So the three required holidays, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles, or Pesach, Passover, Shavuot, the Feast of Weeks, or Harvest, and Sukkot, Tabernacles, or Ingatherings. Now, note that the idea that, quote, only males were required to appear during these times. Right? Note that the idea that only the males, it says three times in the year shall all the males of Yisrael. So the idea that only males were required to appear during these times, especially these three times in a year, the sages came up with the idea, the elders in reasoning on this, that the woman are exempted from what is known as, quote, time bound. Key note here, time bound. So the idea that women are exempt from time-bound commandments. We have this in Kiddushin 34a. It's a very, very important and a fundamental reasonment right here. And it is also right and accurate. When it says three times in the year shall all the males of Yisrael appear. Therefore, the ancient sages and scholars in reasoning have come forth with the idea that brings out the essence of HaTorah, that woman, as a general principle of Torah rule, are exempted from, quote, time-bound commandments. Lastly, but not leastly, question 14 right here, Chabarim, for these basic questions for the 18th sabbatical study for Shabbat HaMishpatim, Sabbath, the judgments, ordinances, the verdicts, the sentences. Question 14, the laws of Kashrut, or we could say the kosher laws known as Kashar, of Kashrut, often referred to as the dietary Torot, the dietary laws, direction, instruction. They were developed from what command? So what we know today as the kashrut or the dietary, the Hebraic or the Judaic dietary laws, they were developed from what command? From what command in this parsha, in this Torah reading and feeding, in Shabbat HaMishpatim? We have Exodus chapter 23, verse 13. You shall not boil, or in the King James Version says seize, which is to say like boil a kid in its mother's milk. You shall not boil or seize a kid, right, the baby of, you know, of the animal, the kid, in its mother's milk. According to Exodus 23 and 13, also a point of reference is Exodus 34, 26, and Deuteronomy 14, 21. This is also from this is the laws, the Torot of Treif, the laws of Treif. So here, some of the basic questions right here for this 18th sabbatical study, for this Shabbat Strong right here, Chaberim. Stay tuned for some of the discussion topics and themes from the 18th sabbatical study, Sabbath judgments. There's about 10 discussion items. I'd like to follow up on that, but take a Selah moment right here, Chaberim. Shalom, Chaberim.
Mizmor Zain Shigayon le David Asher Shar Ladonai Al Divre Chush Ben Yemini Adonai Elohim.
O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this,
If there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit, and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High.
You read the Bible, Brett?
Yes.
Oh, there's this passage I got memorized. Sort of fits this occasion. Ezekiel 25:17. The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee.
Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
You'll find your redemption and your keeper, the teachings of his majesty. You'll find your redemption and your keeper, the teachings of his majesty. You'll find your redemption and your keeper, the teachings of his majesty.
Sabbatical study, this I and I Rastafari sabbatical study for this Shabbat strong. Shabbat.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Adonai.
Shalom, Chavarim, Shalom. So here, discussion topics. Come. Make reasoning topics here from Shabbat Mishpatim, from the 18th sabbatical study, the Shabbat Strong, and the Shabbat Ha Mishpatim. Discussion topics, so some reasoning topics. So here's not so much like with the questions where we refer directly to HaTorah, refer directly to answers or to the text. This is just some reasonments, important reasonments right here. There's about 10 of them. Let's go through them. Let's begin off here for the 18th sabbatical study, the Shabbat known as Shabbat Mishpatim, Shabbat HaMishpatim, Senbet Sarat. Here. Come back with reason. First item of discussion of reasonment. In this week's Torah, this sabbatical study for the 18th sabbatical study, Mishpatim, This is from the H4C, Hebrew for Christians. Here he has slavery. So let's read the question as is in this week's Torah portion. Slavery seems. I mean, everything that seems to be don't really be what it be, but slavery seems to be tolerated within the ancient Israelite economy. It seems to be. Well, that's a faulty term right there, slavery, enslavement, or servitude. Which one is it? The term, more correctly, is servitude. Has to do with labor, right? Has to do with labor. Now, there's some force, right? There's conditions of forced labor. For example, a thief being caught, tried, and convicted and found guilty of the theft and cannot pay, right, for the theft, cannot pay for what, cannot return the property by paying for it, right, or the fee imposed for that violation. Therefore, that one was put into forced servitude. They had to work off that particular debt, right? So when it says in this Torah reading and feeding sabbatical study, right, in the Torah, right, slavery seems to be tolerated. First of all, it's tolerated because of the confusion in terms. If you look in the King James Version of the Bible, right, which was the Bible used over the majority of the 400 year, we have 1611, right, from that particular time moving forward. So count, do the count, do the math. 400 years, this is the point of reference. If you look in that particular version, you do not find the term slavery. If you look in some of these pseudo-Bibles of today, these modern translations that came up maybe in the late 70s, 80s, and 90s, and even in the 2000s, now these were nowhere to be found, right, within that 400-year period of time for the once lost, now found black and brown sheeple, the people, the Beit Yisrael, the Beit Israel. So a more correct, right, reading of this, right, would be the term slavery is the term we use today because of how they have programmed us. So we read the Bible says the Hebrew servant, but then we imagine, right, that we see slave and we get confused. So in this Torah reading and feeding, it seems that slavery was tolerated within the ancient Israelite economy. Now we know that that's a confusion of terms right there. Come out of her, come out of Babylon, come out of confusion, confusion of terms, confusion of words. But how can so-called slavery, quote, end quote, strong quotes, right, of any kind be deemed acceptable, especially when Yahuwah Atzmo, when Jehovah himself, Egziavia Rasu, redeemed Yisrael from the what's called nowadays, even in nowadays Judaism and Christianity, the house of slavery. The fact is they have confused the terms, right? It's a confusion of terms, right? So we just touch on that first discussion topic matter because we've been on that terminology ever since we started to recognize the trick, right? The trick that they do, right, in this translation and with their translations, and then even the sleight of hand that they do even after that, even though we have the translation, the KJV, people still imagine that they see slavery, and then they'll read Bibles that were translated after the period of the 400 years or in the later period of time after the epicenter of the deeds done did, and imagine that back in those days, they was reading the Bible, and they actually said slave and slavery instead of servant and servitude. So how were the laws, the Torah, regarding the treatment, right, of so-called slaves, or more correctly, of servants? Here's the true question. How were the Torah, the laws regarding the treatment of servants, different than those of the Tawi, the two lands, Mitzrayim, a.k.a. Egypt? So how were the laws regarding the treatment of so-called slaves, more correctly servants, different than those of Egypt, than those of the Tawi, than those of the two lands that we refer to as Mitzrayim? How were they different, Chabarim? Come, make a reason. discussion topic number two. Second discussion topic regarding the sabbatical year, known as the Shemitah, the sabbatical year, Shemitah in the Hebrew, the Shemitah. The sabbatical year requires that every seventh year, a field of land, must remain fallow, not being used, must rest, remain fallow. And a jubilee year, a yobel, requires that all so-called slaves, strong quotes again, just going from the notes here, right, but here correcting, right, all servants, whether it was a servant who, because of poverty, sold his service, or whether it was one who had to work off a debt because of the courts, that all were to be set free. All debts were to be canceled. And the land would be, quote, reset. The land would be reset to its original inheritances. So its original inheritance amongst the B'nai Yisrael, among the sons of Israel. Now, here is a case in an area when we talk about the original inheritance and the ownership, right? After Yahweh, Jehovah Eloheinu, went to the sons of Israel. So even though there was one law for the stranger and the homeborn, right? The only one area we can say that was mainly different was regarding the ownership, right, or the original inheritances. It's referred to as inheritances, right? The ownership of the land is Yahweh Eloheinu. He is the owner, earth's rightful ruler. But here we have in the sabbatical year, the Shemitah, it requires that every seventh year a field of land must remain fallow, without use, and a yobel, or known as a yovel, requires that all servants, so-called pseudo-slaves, servants were to be set free, and that all debts were to be canceled. So we have debt cancellation right here, every seventh year. And the land, right, the land would be, quote, reset, end quote, to its original inheritances. So the ones that can inherit land were those who could prove their pedigree. And this is the true interpretation of what we have in the fourth book of Moses, of Moshe, fourth book of the Bible, known as Numbers, right? In the very first chapter, where there's a lot of controversy among different Hebrews and Israelites about, well, who is a Hebrew or Israelite? Well, you are what your father is. If your father is an Israelite, you know, then you are Israelite. That is true according to the area of scripture they're referencing, but the purpose of it, as it says, they have a zeal, right? A zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. The true context of this is what we're speaking about right here. The original inheritances were amongst the Beit Yisrael, the Beta Israel, and amongst the B'nai Yisrael, the sons of Israel, those who can trace their pedigree, right, their descent, right, to the 12 sons, right, to, we could say, the 12 patriarchs, the sons of Yaakov of Yisrael. We have this in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 8 to 17, concerning the sabbatical, the Shemitah year, right, the seventh year requirement concerning a field remaining fallow, the Yovel, the Yobel, the Yubelu, the Jubilee year that required all servants or so-called slaves to be set free, all, and all debts to be canceled, debt cancellation, and the land being reset to its original, the original inheritances, and the original inheritances, according to the pedigree, are amongst the descendants of the 12 patriarchs, the 12 sons of Yaakov of Yisrael. Leviticus 25, verses 8 to 17. So let's discuss, let's reason. Reason on the, what's the viability? The viability, via, to live from the thing that's a Greek there, viability. What is right, the viability. Let's discuss the viability of these practices. Is there any viability of these practices? Seventh year, land remaining fallow, without use. A Yobel, a jubilee year, where all servants or slaves will be set free, all debts will be canceled, the land being reset to its original inheritances. So let's discuss the viability, right? You could say the sustainability, the workability, the viability of these practices. And what benefit to society, right? Society as a whole, and to the Beta Israel in particular, they would yield. Let's reason on the viability of these said sabbatical year, Shemitah year practices, and what practical and what real benefits to society they would yield. Question, reasonment, discussion topic 3 right here. Discussion topic 3. Come. Make reason. The sages, the scholars of Torah, they interpreted that the Torah statement, there's a Torah statement, ein tachat ein, eye, an eye for an eye, ein tachat ein, eye for an eye, ein tachat ein, exclusively in terms of financial restitution. So the ancient sages, right, of HaTorah, right, they interpreted the Torah statement, ein tachat ein, eye for an eye, ein tachat ein, almost to say like eye under an eye, but eye for an eye, ein tachat ein. They interpret the eye for an eye exclusively in terms of financial restitution. Now, a whole discussion point on the statements of Martin Luther King Jr. concerning the eye for an eye, where he said if we practice that, we all be blind. And basically, he was regurgitating so-called this one named Mahatma Gandhi fire, you know. But they had the wrong interpretation. And this is interesting because many of them were marching around with the European Jews, and no European Jews ever said, hey, you know, that the way we practice, the way we know this and have learned this, is not literally, but it's actually interpreted exclusively in terms of financial restitution. How many of y'all knew that when you hear the eye for an eye, that an eye for an eye was never literal? They trick. They keep tricking the people, right? You know, so it's like ones know that it means financial restitution. However, ones are looking at it literally. This is why when we look in Torah, how come we don't find any place in Torah? At least one example. For most of these Torot, most of these things, we do have many examples. We have examples, at least one example, for the majority of what we have here in HaTorah, right? But how come we don't have a literal example of you punch, you know, you took out my eye, I took out your eye? We don't find that there. So therefore, we have to understand the Hebraic, the idiom. We have to understand the language, right? We need to look at the linguistic science here. Ein tachat ein, eye for an eye, is interpreted exclusively and applied in terms of financial restitution. Money, right? Or in the Hebrew, the kesef, referring to the silver, like in the Ethiopian economy of the King of Kings, we have the bur is silver, right? But generally interpreted as money. Money must be given commensurate to the injury suffered by the vic or the victim in a civil case. Now, this targum, this interpretation, this turgum, right, this making sense of it, right, this interpretation, however, is based, right, on ancient Judaic, Yehudi, and Hebraic, the oral law. And as we mentioned concerning the oral law and the preliminary, remember the preliminary questions, the Torah, Torah she'baal peh, the Torah, right, upon the mouth, the direction, instruction up on the mouth as it has been reasoned out. In other words, in the ancient times, of course, it was like, well, how do we apply this? Do you think the Israelites heard this as literal, right? Understanding the context, they did not. So based on Yehudi, the Yehudi Torah, Sheb Alper, the oral law, we said the oral tradition, right? And it's not based on the literal, the letter of the law of the Torah, right? She Biktav, the Torah She Biktav, the Torah She, that which is be in on Ketav, on the writing, in the writing, the Torah She Biktav, right? So it's not based on the letter. Right, the literal interpretation, the written word of Torah itself. Now, the Talmud, when we say Talmud, this is the operative word in Hebrew that means teaching. There's many kinds of teaching. So even we, right, as a called, chosen, and faithful Rastafari, we say, give us the teaching of His Majesty, because we don't want no devil's philosophy. So the teaching, we're talking about the general principle of Talmud is teaching, right, is teaching, and the disciple is a Talmid, as the disciples of Rabbeinu Yeshua, disciples of Yeshua, Rabbeinu, and our rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, referred to as a Talmidim. But the Talmud, the teaching, it discusses formulas for determining compensation. Ein tachat ein, eye for eye. It refers to the difference in value between a servant who could be sold, right, before the injury with the later condition, right? Or we say burn for burn, burn for burn. What does burn for burn? Make sense out of this. Make some sense. What's the targum, the interpretation? So when we say make sense, making sense is now interpreting and applying this, right, in reality. The burn for burn, it refers to the amount of money someone would be willing to accept for the pain and suffering. Well, what about wound for wound? Wound for wound, this here, it refers to the value of lost employment. Right? What we're speaking about here is not the pseudo-slaves, but we're speaking about employment and employ, right, and so on. Now, let's reason on the idea of compensation, reasoning on the ein tachat ein, the eye for an eye, from the true Hebraic Judaic context, right, of a term of financial restitution. Let's discuss the idea of compensation for injury, right, and what criteria, right, might be used. What criteria in the context even here of this Torah reading and feeding for Shabbat, Mishpatim, Chaburim. Come. Make I and I reason. Discussion topic number four. Here. Discussion topic number four right here. Let's discuss the role, right, of Judaic theological, right, Judaic and Hebraic, the theological, right, the theological tradition in relation to the Torah Shebiktab, in relation to the Torah Shebiktab, the Torah in writing, or the written Torah. What are your views? What's I and I views? Come, let's reason on our views. What are your views about the role of the oral tradition, right, or the Torah, right, Sheb'alpeh, right, on the mouth? Can you think of a good reason, right, a good reason, right? Are there any good reasons to respect the Yehudi, the ancient Judaic and Hebraic tried and tradition? And for the Chaburim, let's put this in light of Rabbeinu Yeshua's statement, even to the Samaritan woman, where he said to her that y'all, right, as quote, you could say Jews or Israel, so to speak, right, worship that which you know not, we know that which we worship for salvation is of the Jews. Now, according to the Gospel of Yohanan, John's Gospel, we find that there. So the two reasoning subjects, right, in question are, what are your views, right, about the role of the oral tradition, the oral law, the Torah, Sheba Al-Peh, and can you think of a good reason, so any good reasons to respect or to honor, right, Yehudi, right, Judaic tradition, right? Now, what I have in front of me right here is an interesting diagram here where we see the written Torah and the oral Torah, right? Almost like, say, like two columns, right? Say we have two columns comparing the written Torah, the Torah Shebiktav in writing, Shebiktav, and the Torah Shebaalpeh, the Torah on the mouth, the oral tradition, right? So from the Torah Shebiktav, the written Torah, we have mitzvot, we have commandments, right? We also have the narrative context of Torah. Then from the mitzvot, the commandments, right, we have the mitzvot, right, and the de'orata. Now here we're bringing out now how the commandments move forward to like the mishpatim, right here for this 18th mishpatim, also sometimes referred to as laws or judgments more correctly, or the verdicts or the sentences vis-a-vis judgments. Then we have the chukot are the decrees, right, the decrees. Then we have the edot are the testimonies or the testimonials. So we have the Torah, the written Torah, Torah Shebiktav, right? Then we have the mitzvot, the commandments, or in particular, here, a point of reference is to all the commandments, 613, but in the specific context, right, we have the 10 words, the commandment. Then this now moves forward to the judgments, mishpatim, to the chukot, to decrees, or the ordinances in that sense, the chukot, and then the edot. Now on the other side of the column, right, vis-a-vis the written Torah, we have the oral Torah. So we're looking at the Torah Shebiktav and the Torah Shebaalpeh. Shebaalpeh, on the Shebaalpeh, on the fe, the pe, the mouth, we have this tradition that comes down to the halakha. Now the halakha, literally from halak, to walk, right, like walking it out, putting it in effect, walking it out. So here this may be interpreted as the applications from the tradition, the application. We have the midrash, right, the midrashim, which are like the studies, right, along with the Agada. The Agada is like the retelling, right, or like the narration, like with Pesach. Passover, there's a traditional Haggadah or Agada. And Agada come from Haggad, and we have the sense of Hagid, to tell, right? This is in the category where it says to tell it to your son, tell it to your children. And telling it to the children, telling it to our sons, here is the root, right, according to the context of the Torah, Shebaalpeh, right, on the mouth, right? The Agada, right, which is the telling, the narrative, right? Then we have the Midrashim. Collectively, this comes in the context of the Midrashim, the Midrash. For example, the Brit Chadasha, the New Covenant, right, can be seen, right, from a Hebraic or Judaic view as a particular and a peculiar type of midrash, having midrash and also having agada, right? And within it, the teachings of Rabbeinu Yeshua, Einai Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis, we have halakha, how to walk it out, where he says, well, it is written here. Yeshua uses these Judaic, Hebraic, right, key words. It is written, right? Shebiktav, is it not written, right? And then he is doing what? He is speaking, right? He is speaking this out, Shebaalpeh, right? And speaking out the halakha, the walk, how to walk it out, how to live it out when the disciples came to him. Well, if we're to forgive seven times, and what if your brother offends you this many times, so forth and so on. Halakha, applications. Now, this now descends, right, as we have from the written Torah. The written Torah, we have the written narrative, right? And the written Torah, we have the mitzvot. In the oral tradition, the oral Torah, we have the halakha, we have as it's applied over time, based on the Agadah, the Haggadah, the telling, Hagid, you shall tell it to your children. And then the study on this, the reflexive, the Midrash, as we said, the New Testament, right, is basically the Nazarenes, right, the Nazarene, I, Rabbi of Rabbis, his Midrash is contained. The Agadah is there. Also, he gives us the Halakha there, right? He says, you have read or it is written in old times. And then he'll say, but I say to you in that saying, right? So we have a oral tradition, even in the Brit Chadasha. And this is why Yeshua is referred to as a rabbi. And this is why those who he was disputing with were other rabbis of other traditions. So he was correcting, writing, and exacting, right, the halakha as well as the Agadah and the Midrashim, right? Now this here, it leads to the mitzvot and de Rabbanan, the mitzvot. So from the oral tradition, right, the oral Torah, to the halakha directly, you know, because the halakha links with the mitzvot, right? As the oral Torah and tradition links with the written Torah and tradition, right? But from the halakha, the applications, right, we have three areas. We have takanot, which is case law and case study, the gezerot, which are restrictions. And then we have the minhagim are certain customs that have come from the traditional, right, halakha walking and application, right, of the Torah Shebiktav. Because some would try to dismiss the oral tradition, but then wait, even within the written law, it says to tell it to your children, right, speak of it in your house, as we have in the Shema Yisrael. Speak of it when you're in your house, when you go about the way, right? So be conversant, and being conversant of it, right? It didn't say, well, just unroll the scroll. No, as you have heard and you have received, communicate this, right? She be'al peh, on the mouth, by way of mouth. So here, once again, let's reason a little bit more on the Judaic theological tradition, right? And we will seek to look at it from our rabbi's perspective, Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri, right? The theological tradition in relation to the written Torah. We can do this very well with the Brit Chadasha, with the New Testament. What are your views about the role of oral law, right? The oral law, or the Torah, Sheba'al Peh. Can you think of good reasons to respect this Jewish or Judaic, this Yehudi tribe or tradition? Come, make with reason, right? So discussion item right here, number 5. What do you think Robeinu Yeshua thought of Yehudi or Jewish tradition? It's an excellent discussion, reasoning topic. You just even right at the gate, right? Even if one has, especially if one has not really studied, because it's a view that we would have that's not according to the view that we would have after we do due diligent study. But what do you think of Robeinu Yeshua, of Yeshua HaNotri's thought of Yehudi or Jewish tradition? On the one hand, Robeinu Yeshua HaNotri, he condemned the practice of donating tithes, the korban, to the Heikal, to the temple, at the expense, This is the context. At the expense of caring for one's parents. This is a noteworthy thing, which especially also applies and should apply, right? You know, to those who are the Berit Chadasha ones, right? So to speak, the Christians. So Yeshua, on the one hand, clearly condemned, as an example, the practice of donating tithes, what was called at the time the Korban, right, the Korban at the temple, at the Heikal, at the expense of caring for one's parents, Mateo, especially one's elderly parents. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 to 6, Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 to 6, and he gave no weight, no gravity, to the custom of ritually washing hands and cups before eating, before general eating. Now, for the priests and service, so forth and so on, we know it is written, but they extend this just to, you know, this customary thing. It became a ritual of washing hands and cups before regular common eating, according to Mark chapter 7, verses 3 to 13. Now, that's on the one hand. But now on the other hand, Rabbeinu, Einai Rabbi Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, he agreed with the ethical teachings of the sages of his day. This is interesting. Ones don't know this. Ones don't teach this, that Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, a.k.a. called by the world Jesus Christ, Rabbeinu Yeshua HaNotri, he agreed with the ethical teachings of the sages of his day. Can we give examples? Yes, we can. Can you give example? Yes, we can. Can you give example? Yes, we can. Example, Hillel. Hillel spoke about on neighbor love and love of neighbor. Shammai spoke on divorce. Right, and when we look at Hillel, my statement, and also when Hillel lived, right, at the time Hillel lived, and also Shammai, we will see where Yeshua drew from the best of the Yehudi tribe and tradition, but also condemned the worst of it. But he agreed with Hillel on neighborly love, on love of neighbor, with the sage and the rabbi Shammai on divorce. He also agreed with Shammai and others on the centrality of the Shema, even the Our Father prayer, the Avinu Sheba Shemayim. Avinu Sheba Shemayim is Yehudi, is Judaic, pre-existing before the time of the New Testament, was known as the Gospel of the first century. This is facts. That's why we refer to him as Rabbeinu and Einai Rabbi. And he read, right, and we know that Yeshua HaNotri, as was his, what did it say in the Bible, in the New Testament, as was his custom, right, he read Torah, right, he read the Torah during the Sabbath services, right, so he kept the sabbatical services, and he read HaTorah during the Shabbat Avodah, during the Sabbath services, etc., etc. There's more. These are just some examples right here. For example. And therefore, it is a mistake to say, or to claim say, or to make it be heard to say, hearsay, that he categorically, you hear ones and ones in among Christianities, especially counterfeit white Anglo-Saxon Protestants, saying that Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, that he categorically rejected all the traditions of the elders. Come, make we discuss this right here. This is an important theme, important subject, an important topic of discussion right here, speaking about the traditions. So here we have, come make we reason, 5 of the 10 discussion topics, reasoning items. Come, make I and I reason. So once again, it's a mistake to say that Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, right, that he categorically rejected all the traditions of the elders. No, he rejected the traditions of the elders that made void HaTorah, right, and particularly HaDabar of his father, of our father, of his Elohim, of Ayinai Elohim. Baruch Yehovah, Baruch Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
My advice to all, is to fulfill the Ten Commandments.
Hashem Yeshua HaMoshiach, in the name of Adoni I, 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 Yeshua 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 I, HaMoshiach, I, Shia, 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 I, Shia. Glory be the King, Kadamah HaLaSalasi. Yes, I, Rastafari, 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 Rastafari.
They always sing to him songs of praise.
The Ethiopian church belongs to the monophysite group of churches which teach that Christ had one nature, that his humanity and divinity became one without intermixing, and that his divinity never separated from his humanity.
In which our Lord himself gave the command to go to all the world and to preach is also of high value.
Psalm 7.
Mizmor Zayin, Shigayon le David, Asher Shar, Ladonai, Al Divre Chush Ben Yemini, Adonai Elohai, 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 Elohai.
O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it, yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God tries the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief. Brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High.
Are ye not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, O children of Israel?
Shalom again, shalom chaparim. Here we have today's daily psalm. We have psalm.
One thing that we noticed was that with the kaf, we have the kaf, the wow, and the wow, and the wow.
Just building on where we were with the superscription for psalm, Mizmor Zain, and the kush. Kush, then Yemini. We have linked it with the Kosh. We have the Kosh, the H6983, the Kosh, and how that's linked with the Keshet, or the bow, the Kosh, to bend. And interestingly enough, the word appears in Isaiah 29 and 21, where it says, that make a man, those that, you know, ones that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare. And thus we have the Kosh. The kosh with the kof instead of the kaf. Instead of the kush, we have the kosh, those who lay a snare for him that reproveth in the gate and turn aside the just for a thing of naught. And that's the only place that we have in the Hebrew scriptures. We have the kosh in that sense. And I find it to be interesting. Now, another thing that we noticed was that with the kaf, we have the kaf, the wow, and the sheen. And put together, we have the kush within the kativ, what's written. Now, the kaveh, no doubt, was different. And here's where we get to the truth of it and the link with the kosh, the kof for the kaf. So, in other words, kush, and we have kosh, to bend, and that link with bending the bow. Then we also have the name kish in English, K-I-S-H. For some link that in the kaveh, we say kish. Kish ben a Yemeni, kish. And this now links us with the kish, Hebraically speaking, and also kishi. Kishi was an Israelite. We have the H7029, the H7029 in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance, and this is kishi. Kishi means to be bold, right? Kishi, bold, and kishi is also the name of an Israelite, and that links to the word to bend, to be bowed or bold, kosh, kishi. And then we have five Israelites. In the KJV, it would read as Kish, K-I-S-H, Kish. We also have the river Kishon, the winding river Kishon. That also links to the Kosh, to bend. And then we have Kish, five Israelites. The name of five Israelites, Kish. Now, Kish could sound like Kish, and could also be said as Kush. Kish, Kush, Kish, Kish. So five Israelites are named Kish as well. So that link right there also with the reasoning and the study in the superscription. Who is Kush according to the English? And I emphasize, according to the KJV, in the superscription of Mizmor Zain, the appeal to the heavenly church, the seventh psalm in the Sefer Tehillim, we have the superscription of Shigayon, an aberration, this rambic poem, Shigayon Ledawid of David. Asher Shar La Yehovah, that he sang, Asher Shar, that which he sang, the Shira, which he shar, he sang, Asher Shar La Yehovah, Al Divrei Kush, Ben Yemini, concerning the words. And so I thought this was an interesting link concerning the words. And what we have in Isaiah,
Isaiah 29 and 21. Isaiah 29 and 21. Let's bring this up right here. Isaiah 29 and 21. Now, this area 29 and 21 of Esaias, right? In Isaiah 29 and 21, this particular section here, he would have fitu tesfa, the future hope, the future expectation, and as part of the word here, the word that we have here, woyo, woyo, woe, woyo, 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 le Dawid katama, le honichu, le Yerusalem, a woe to the city of David, to that which is Jerusalem, woe to Jerusalem, Yerusalem, Yerusalem. And as we go through this chapter, chapter 29, in the Tinbite Isaias, the prophecy of Isaiah, right, of Isaiah, we come down to this section here. Let's bring it out in the English. In the English, we have verse 21 is the main verse that reads, that make a man, that make a man. It says, for the terrible ones, verse 20, for the terrible one is brought to naught, to nothing. And the scorner, interesting, from Psalm 1. We have Psalm 7 right here, superscription we're studying. So we have Psalm 1. Right? Blessed is the man, happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the uckers, the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scorner. Sit in the seat or the deceitfulness, but literally in the seat of the scorner. So here in Isaias, Mi'raf, Hayazet, chapter 29, Kuta, we have Kuta Haya, verse 20 here. For the terrible one is brought to naught, and the scorner is consumed, bundled up, consumed, and all that watch, this is interesting, and all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Chekanyuso aluko alena, fezenyawem atefto alena, le hatiatim ye defetuhulu yikoret aluna. Now here, bring us to Haya Ad, verse 21, and a link with the superscription in today's daily psalm, Psalm 7, here at verse 21, it says, in Nezihim, so, in Nezihim, so, in be neger bedalenya yemiyadargu, be berimma yemiyageses o, ashkla yemiyanoru, sarkunima bekentu neger yemiyasitu nacho. The Turgun, translation that make a man an offender. So speaking about the terrible one being brought to naught, to nothing, and the scorner being consumed, and all, get this, all that watch for iniquity are cut off. Some just look for wrong things. They just look for something to go wrong, something to go bad. They expect it. It's actually their religion. It's their faith. They look for bad and for bad things. They watch for, as it says right here in Isaiah chapter 29, at verse 20, Chekanyu so alkoalina, the cruel, the terrible man is alkoalina. It is consumed. It has like come to an end. It's finished. It's no more. Right? You know, it's like there's some liquid in a container and it runs out. Fezenyawim, and the scorner, Fezenyawim, Eftawal, are lost. See the word for destroyed? The word that we have for destroyed or consumed, the scorner is consumed in the royal Amharic. Here we have tefto, tefto alina. Same word for tefat, for destruction, can also be for loss. We say the lost sheep, my people perish, my people are destroyed. Also, my people are lost. So the idea here with the word tefa, here in the sense of tefto, tefto, has been perished, has perished, he has perished, is destroyed, is lost. Fezenyawim tefto alina, is consumed, is lost. Lechat yatim, and for sin and for uckery. Some people just look for, they say, oh, you know, some people may look good on the outside, and you might think everything is good with them, but somewhere deep down and dark in some corner, there's some sin that's lurking out, and if you look hard enough, you'll find it. That's the type right there. Lechat yatim, if you're that type, to repent of that, let that go. See, the word here in Isaiah 29 and 20 says, lechat yatim. For sin, for uckery, for something lack, for something wrong, in other words, for some sin, uckery. Lechat yatim, or for lack. Here we have from the ata root, the hata, ata, to lack, to miss. Lechat yatim, ye defetu hulu, ye defetu, defetu. It's like they're in ambush in the night. They're in ambush. They're lurking, just looking. Like they're just watching, just waiting for something to go wrong. They're waiting for some sin. They're waiting for some wrongdoing. They suspect. They know it's there. It got to be there. Lechatiatim yadefet uhulu. All those who are in ambush for sin. Interesting, the royal Amharic that we have in HSE right here in the prophet Isaiah is Lechatiatim yadefet uhulu. Yikoret aluna are cut off. They've been 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 cut off. Now this now brings us squarely here to verse 21 and the link with the superscription of Mizmor 7, where it reads Al Divrei Kush Ben Yemini. Al Divrei Kush. Al Divrei Kush. Upon the words of Divrei, the Divrei of Kush. Now one way we can read this is the Divrei Yakosh. Al Divrei Yakosh. Al Divrei Kush. Al Divrei Yakosh Ben Yemini. The ensnarer, the one who has ensnared the Benjamites. And here, no doubt, is pointing to Shaul. This is why the Talmud of Timhadit, in the Timhadit, in the teaching, we have Kush. This Kush here, in the Kativ, in what's written in Mizmor, in the Sefer Tehillim, in the Hebrew Masoretic text, as Kush, this, quote, Kush refers to Shaul, or the Al-Divrei Yakosh, Al-Divrei Yakosh, the Kush. This, thus the link with H6983 and Kosh. And we ask the question, well, who is this Kush, the Benjamite? And this is this kind of cryptic, you know, has been studied by many ones. Many ones have posited or proposed why or who this can be. And here's I and I bringing forward that the link right here is with the Kosh or the Yakosh, the and the link with the bender of the bow and the ensnarer, the fowler, that laying traps and schemes. Because this is what they were doing. This brings out the historical and the scriptural context of the fratricide between Shaul, the Benjamite, and Dawid, the Judahite, almost like we say this Yadi Yankee thing. See, I point to that because we have a real point of reference here. All right, so we have Kish, as we mentioned, five Israelites are named Kish, right? And we also have a Kishi, an Israelite whose name Kishi, right? So the Kish, Kush, Kosh, Kish, Kush, Kosh. See the link? But then when we now refer elsewhere in the scriptures, we come to Yeshaya, the other place where the H6983 Kosh, to bend or to trap, to lay a trap, is found, is right here. And this whole idea of trap, of traps, one who, concerning the words of the one who lays a trap for the Benjamite who's laying the trap. And this is it right here. In Isaiah chapter 29:21, or the Targum, the interpreter, the KJV Targum is this, that make a man an offender for a word, and lay a snare for him that reproveth. Indicate and turn aside the just or the righteous for a thing. They turn aside what's righteous for a thing that's worthless, in other words. But that lay a snare for him. So Isaiah 29 and 21, in the sense of the, quote, Kush, the Benjamite, quote, unquote, really Yakosh, concerning the words of the fowler, the trap layer, the snare layer. Now, when we look at Yakosh, it's very interesting. We have eight verses for Yakosh. Hopefully the Chavarim can, you know, even help to share this with others, you know, to make it more digestible. But just touching on this is very interesting, because then it brings the spirit of it. Now, with the link of the words, it's like, it makes sense. It's in the true spirituality, the true religion and spirituality of the Hebrews. It's in the spirit and in truth, in that objective reality. Because the Yakosh verses, see, it's interesting. We have the Kosh, link with the Kosh and the Kish, link with the Kosh and the Yakosh, right, and Snera, even the Kishon, the river, there's a link right there. We also have Kishi. Now, in the English, KJV, and here's what we're going to seek to do, even a study, maybe follow up the Metaphysical Bible Dictionary. Take note of K-I-S-H. We have K-I-S-H, and then we have K-I-S-H-I. Now, what's interesting, now notice in the English it's as K, but in the Hebrew, we have this as Kish. Kish, for special K, the Q sound, Kish, and the click, right, Afro-Shemitically speaking, the Kish. We have Kish and Kishi. Kish and Kishi, these are five, well, actually, that makes six Israelites, right, with that particular name. Is there maybe a Benjamini connection, a Benjamite connection? One way of looking at it is son of the right hand, the Benjamite, or we can look at it as the Fowler, who was the son of Yemini can be interpreted in that sense as the right hand. So it could be a Benjamite, or one who was the son of one whose name was Yemini. It was a Yemenite. Could he have been a Yemenite? That was also down with Shaul in the campaign against David, against David. Now remember, both of them were messiahs. I like to emphasize this. Both of them were anointed. Saul, Shaul, the reigning king. David, the up-and-coming one. All right? So the one who was already set up seeking to stop the one who was the up-and-coming one, the David, in the context of it. Now, for the H3369, which is the one referred to as like the root or is related to the Kosh, we have Yakosh. Yakosh. And this is what's been pointed out here in Isaiah 29 and 21, that make a man an offender for a word and lay a snare for him. That make a man an offender. Machitiyeh Adam. Bid davar. By a word. See, here it says, for a word, KJV says, for a word. Even the Bamarinya brings out more of the Hebrew sense of bid davar. So we have mechatiyeh adam, that makes a man an offender, bid davar, in or by way of a word. Remember the superscription? Al divrei, based on the words, upon the words of Kush, ba divrei Yakosh, Kush, makes a man offender by a word. Machetiyeh Adam didavar. We la mokiyah. Ba sha'ar. Yikoshun. Ba sha'ar yikoshun. Al divrei Kush, Yakosh. Wayatu. Wayatu batohu tzadik. And turn aside the just, the tzadik. Turn aside the just for tohu. Tohu wa bohu. Again, it was void, empty and void, vanity, nothingness. Now the Yakosh connection is particularly interesting, Yakosh, and there's 8 verses. If you put in the search the H3369, which is Yakosh, linked with the Kosh. So the Yakosh, the sneerer, right? Both these are verbs, but it can also have a noun sense, as we have in these 8 verses. The first one is Deuteronomy 7:25. The graven image of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold, that is, on them, nor take it. To thee. Now here's where it says, lest thou be snared. So sense of being snared. Lest thou be snared. So that Yakosh sense, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to Yahweh Eloheka. So we have the sense of the ensnaring. Right? That ensnaring. Right? Pen te wakesh. Pen the Tivak Eshvau, and we should be ensnared. That's Deuteronomy 7:25. Just following along with this basic, we say the word sound. Now we have that in Deuteronomy and 2 verses in Psalms 124:7. The 124:7, our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. So here we have our soul is escaped. Right? Our soul, Psalm 124:7. Nafshenu, kud sipor. Our soul, all I and I soul is as a sipor, as a bird. We have that bird of the soul, the sipor, like sipora, and also the link with the Ethiopian Medianite connection, the sipora, Moshe's wife. But here, just pointing to the bird, the sipor, our soul, right? Our soul, like a bird. Nafshenu, kud sipor. Nimlita, mi pach. Our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare, mi pach, right? Nimlita, Nimletam Yipach Yok Shim, the Yok Shim, the Yakash Yok Shim, Yok Shim, the phallus. Hapach, 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 the snare, Hapach, Nisha, Nishabar, Hapach, Nishabar, Hapach, the snare, Hapach, Hapach, Nishabar, Nishabar, Hapach, Nishabar, the snare is broken. Wa nachnu, wa nachnu, wa nachnu, and we, and I, anachnu, wa anachnu, wa anachnu, nima latnu, nim latnu, wa anachnu, nim latnu, and we ourselves are escaped. And we have Psalm 141 and 9, where it says, keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. So once again, we can see the context here, right? Proverbs 6 and 2 says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. So we have this sense of thou art ensnared, right? So we have this right here in Proverbs 6 and 2. And notice the connection with the davar and the sense of words, even with the superscription. Words, Ecclesiastes, we have Ecclesiastes 9 and 12. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared. There's the word, snared. In an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Of Isaiah 8 and 15, and many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared. Many were caught up in that conspiracy against the well-beloved, against even Dawi, even against I and I and we, right? And many among them shall stumble and fall and be broken and be snared and be taken. That's Isaiah 8 and 15. Then we have Isaiah 28 and 13. But the word of Yahuwah, Jehovah, he who be, we be, is divine man, see, go to we can tomorrow have a see, was to them precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, and there a little, that they might go, and fall backward and be broken and be snared. There's the word, be snared and be taken. And we have the final of the Yakosh root word links here in the scripts with Jeremiah 50:24. I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon. I have laid a snare. Snare has been laid for Babylon. I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon. And thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven. Thou hast striven against Yahuwah Jehovah. Thou hast striven against Yahuwah, against Jehovah. So here's the final of the eight, looking at not so much in as a name, but as a noun. And notice that I think the majority of the quotes were connected with the word. Right? Just as a superscription of today's daily psalm says, Al Divrei Kush Ben Yemini, or that's the Katib, here's Ayinai Kere, Al Divrei Yakosh Ben Yemini. Al Divrei Yakosh Ben Yemini. Concerning the words of the ensnarer, Ben Yemini, the Benjamite ensnarer, i.e. Shaul. Today's daily psalm, Mizmor Zain, seventh psalm. Yes, sir. Just a little more sheer. Make sure we look up the words, the Kish, K-I-S-H, and Kishi. 5 to 6 Israelites. I think one is named Kishi. The others are named Kish. Kish, 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 Kish.
Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword. My sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword, my sword. Ye Ethiopians also, ye shall be slain by my sword.
Slain by my sword. Slain by
ye Ethiopians also.
Also.
Ye Ethiopians also.
Also.
Ye Ethiopians also.
Rewind and come back, selector.
Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts.
For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, 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 hear the word. Psalm 7.
Mizmor Zayin, Shigayon le David, Asher Shar Ladonai, על דברי חוש בן ימיני, בן ימיני, בן ימיני, בן ימיני. אדוני אלוהי, 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 אלוהי.
O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces, while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger. Lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people compass thee about. For their sakes, therefore, return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness, and according to mine integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just. For the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit, and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High.
Mizmor Zayin. Hear today's song, Mizmor Zayin. Psalm 7, Psalm V.I.I. Shigayon, Shigayon, impulsive speech. Mizmor Zayin, hear today's psalm, Mizmor Zayin. Psalm 7, Psalm V.I.I. Shigayon, Shigayon, impulsive speech. Shigayon. Impulsive speech, Lid David of David, Asher Shar, which he sang, La Yahuwah to Jehovah, to he be, we be, Al Divrei Kush, concerning the matter of Kush, Ben Yamin, the Benjamite. Shigayon le Dawi Asher Shar La Yahuwah Al Divrei Kush Ben Yamini Shigayon, impulsive speech of David that he sang to he who be we be HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch Hashem concerning the matter of Kush Ben Yamini of Benjamin. Here he read through the first verse. Here in the KJV, the King James Version, you read superscription. The superscription right here. We
Greg Reed, the first verse, the Aleph, the first verse. Here, Mizmor Zayin, Mizmor Zayin, Mizmor Zayin, Psalm 7. And here, Midrash note on Ben Yamini, Ben Yamini, Benjamin. Dawid, David, uses Cush, Ben Yamini, Cush the Benjamite, as a circumlocution, circumlocution for King Saul, because of the danger in cursing the name of the king or the king by name. So here, Dawid, according to Midrash notes, he uses Cush, Ben Yamini, Cush the Benjamite, or Cush the Benjamite, as a circumlocution for King Saul, for Shaul HaMelech, because of the danger, 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 in cursing the king by name. And here a circumlocution, circumlocution is defined as the use of many words where fewer would do, especially in a deliberate attempt to be vague and evasive. What does circumlocution mean? The use of an unnecessarily large number of words to express an idea. Had no patience with diplomatic circumlocutions. Evasion in speech. Circumlocutions concerning what constitutes torture, for example. So a circumlocution is basically defined, according to the Oxfordian definitions of the English, as the use of many words where few would do, especially in a deliberate attempt to be vague or evasive. Paraphrasing, as it were. So Dawid refers to Cush, Benyamini, as a circumlocution for Shaul HaMelech, King Saul, because of the danger in cursing and cussing the king, HaMelech, by name. So the verse here, Shigayon, impulsive speech, Shigayon, Lidawid Asher Shala Yahuwah Ala Divrei Kusha Ben Yamini, of David, that he sang to he who be, he be to Jehovah, concerning the matter of Cush, of Cush, Ben Yamini, Cush the Benjamite. This verse is to be considered in the light of what Scripture says elsewhere, even in Kohelet, in the preacher called Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 20. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. Gam bi madaika melek alatik alel. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. Gam, also, gam, bi madaika, in thy thought, melech, the king, altik alel, curse not. That is, curse not the melech, the king who lives in thine own time. Cuss not the king that lives in thine own eye or thine own time. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber, the verse goes on to say. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Ua ve chadreya. Misha Kavaka Alatik Alela Ashir. And curse not the rich in thy bed chamber. Ua be Chadreya
Misha Kavika Alatik Alel. That is to say, not even to thyself cuss the rich man who lives in thine own time, in thy own Iowa. For a bird of the ear shall carry the voice, the verse goes on to read, for a bird of the ear shall carry the voice, shall carry the vodka. Okay, and this is key off, Hashemayim, your leak eta hakol. Eta hakol, let's see. But you craving. And here, Midrash notes on by the raven, what Rav Yirmiyahu, Ermias, Jeremiah said, whatever thou sayest of the king, of the Melech, or the Asher, will be carried to them by the raven. The Midrash notes say that the ancients, the Kadmonim, right, they regarded the raven as a prophetic bird. The ancients regarded the raven as a prophetic bird. Or Midrash on Mizmor Zain, Psalm 7, goes on to say, or revealed to them by divination from the flight of birds. And that which hath wings shall tell the matter. The verse here in Kohelet, in the preacher Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 20, goes on to say, and that hath wings shall tell the matter. Uva Allah Knafim Yagid Davar. And that which hath wings. Uba Allah Knafim. And that which owns wings, that has wings, the owner of the wings, Uwa ba'alla knafim, shall tell the matter, yagi, to tell, davar, yagi the davar, shall tell the matter. Indeed, for such curses, even walls have ears. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Sanctified One, the Set Apart One, the Isla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, asked David, in saying, according to the words of Mizmor Vav, the sixth psalm, 11th verse, let all thine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Yevoshu v'yevahilu amod kol oyvai. All mine enemies, may all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Yeboshu we yebahilu mod kol oybai. All mine enemies shall be ashamed. Yeboshu and sore affrighted and vexed. We yebahilu mod kol oybai. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked David
and saying, may all mine enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. Why dost thou cuss? Why does the eye curse? Why dost thou curse mine anointed, mine Moshiach? Dost thou not call Shaul enemy? Oibai, Oyev, as is said, according to the words of Psalm 18, first verse, Hebraically, superscription in the KJV, David spoke the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul, from the hand of Shaul. Lam natzeach le'avadi Yahuwah le'Dawid asher diber la'Yahuwah et divrei ha'shira hazot b'yom hitzili Yahuwah oto mikaf kol oibai u'miyad Shaul. David spoke the words of this song in the day that Yahuwah, that he who be, we be, that Jehovah delivered him from the hand of all his enemies, from the hand of Saul. Lanatzeach le'eved Yahuwah le'Dawid asher diber la'Yahuwah et divrei hashira hazot b'yom hitzil Yahuwah oto mikaf kol oibai u'miyad Shaul. David, David replied, Rivon shel ha'olami, master of the universe, universal master, do not fetch up against me words spoken impulsively, as though they had been spoken deliberately. And here you hear Midrash note on, as though they had been spoken deliberately. Here. Do not fetch up, spoken deliberately, such as the P.E., the Prince Edition. Some say the E.T., the edited text is corrupt. A variant reading is the words spoken in malice, that thou the eye bringest up against me, were really spoken in misunderstanding. As scripture says, according to Psalm 19, verse 13, who can understand his impulsive words? Shigiot. Who can understand his impulsive words? Shigiot, mi yavin. Who can discern errors? Shigiot, mi yavin. Mi yavin. Who can discern or hear? Who can understand? Mi yavin. Me, Yabin, me, who, Yabin, to understand, in the sand, overstand. Me, Yabin, who can understand his impulsive words? Shagiot, Shagiot, who can discern errors? Shagiot, me, Yabin. Shigayon, impulsive speech, Shigayon, Lidawi, impulsive speech of David, according to today's daily psalm, Hebraically, verse 1. Rav Yehuda, Judah, says in the name of Rav Lewi, Levi, Dawi, David, let's slip three imprecations against Shaul, against Saul. And each one of the three afflicted Saul. Dawid said in 1 Samuel 26 and 10, Chayau, as Jehovah liveth, nay, but Yahuwah shall smite him. And so it befell Shaul, and so it befell Saul. Dawid said, or his day shall come to die. And so it befell Shaul, it befell Saul. David said, or he shall go down into battle, and be swept away. And so it befell Shaul, and so it befell Saul. For it is written in 1 Samuel 31 and 6, so Shaul, Saul died, and his three sons. Why did David swear, Hayahuwah, as Jehovah liveth, as Jehovah liveth, Hayahuwah. Why did David swear, as Jehovah liveth, Hayahuwah? According to Rav Eliezer, David took the name of Yahuwah, Jehovah, to help him resist his Yetzer Hara, his evil inclination, his Yetzer Hara, declaring, Hayahuwah, as Jehovah liveth, I shall not do this thing. According to Rav Samuel Bar Nachmani, David took the name, the Hashem of Yahuwah, of Jehovah, to restrain Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, declaring, Hayahuwah, as Jehovah liveth, if thou strikest and sheddest the blood of this righteous man, I shall mingle thy blood with his blood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the Isle of One, blessed be he, said to Dawid, to David, to David, Shaul, Saul, had one concubine, according to 2 Samuel 3 and 7, only one, as if to say, even after Shaul, after Saul was made Melech, was made king, Nebu, he continued to be a humble man. But scripture says of thee, according to 2 Samuel 5 and 13, David took more concubines out of Yerushalayim, out of Jerusalem. And thou, the eye, likenest thyself to Saul? Saul sacrifices possessions for the sake of Yisrael's milchama, war, as it is said in 1 Samuel 11 and 7. He took a yoke of oxen and cut them in pieces and sent them throughout Yisrael. And thou likenest thyself to Shaul, to Saul? Of Saul it is said in 2 Samuel 1 and 23, swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. Rav Lewi said, these words mean that Saul ran 60 miles in one day. According to Rav Simon, he ran 120 miles. And according to the Rebbeinah, the rabbis, he ran 180 miles. When? When the ark was taken by the Philistines. As scripture relates in 1 Samuel 4 and 12, there ran a man of Benjamin, out of the army, and came to Shiloh the same day with his clothes rent and with earth upon Rosho, his head, his ras. The man of Benjamin being Shaul, being Saul. And thou likenest thyself to Shaul, to Saul, a man who goes to a house where a feast is going on, does not take his sons with him, because he is afraid of the evil eye. Yet, though Saul knew that the measure of divine justice was about to strike him, when he went to war, he took his sons with him. But thy men said to thee, to the eye, in 2 Samuel 21 and 17, thou shalt go no more out with us to war, that thou quench not the light of Israel, the light of Israel. And thou likenest thyself to Shaul, to Saul. Saul observed the Levitical precautions of purity, even when he ate common food, as is implied by the verse in 1 Samuel 9:24. And the cook took up the thigh, and that which was a punnet, and set it before Saul. And the cook, Vayarem ha'avach et ha'shoka, v'he'aleha, Vayasem lifnei Shaul. And the cook took up the thigh, and that which was upon it, Vayarem ha'avach et ha'shoka, v'he'aleha, aleha, that which was upon it, the aleha, and set it before Saul, Vayasem lifnei Shaul, according to 1 Samuel 9:24. The word aleha, aleha, the word aleha, according to Rav Yohanan, has the same meaning as aleh in the phrase the thigh together with the fat tail, the aleh. But according to Rav Eliezer, aleh means, quote, that which was upon it, with her aleha, that which was upon her, that which was upon it. Thus, this verse proves that even when Saul ate common food, he observed the Levitical precautions of purity. And thou, the eye, likenest thyself to Shaul. Another comment on Shigayon Ledawi, Shigayon of David. This phrase is to be considered in the light, the illumination of what scripture says elsewhere, according to Job 12 and 16. With him is strength and wisdom, Tushia, the deceived and the deceiver, Shogego Mashke, are his. Here, strength refers to Torah, Jah's direction, instruction, HaTorah. Of that, it is said in Psalm 29:11, Yahuwah, Jehovah, will give strength to Amo, his people, and wisdom to Shia, also refers to Torah. Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi Joshua ben Levi said that HaTorah, the Torah, is called Kushiya, the weakener, because its study depletes the strength of the body, the strength of the body and of the eyes. What does the phrase Shogegu Mashke mean? According to Rav Simeon ben Lakish, it means, quote, prophets and their prophecies. Shogegu Mashke. According to Rav Yohanan, it means, quote, the madman, the madman, and the madness, end quote. According to the Rebbeinat, the rabbi, it means that if a man occupies himself with HaTorah, the Torah will occupy him, as it is said in Job 19:4. Be it indeed that I am occupied, Shagiti, that wherewith I am occupied will stay with me, with us. And as it is also said in Proverbs 5:19, because of thy love of her, because of thy love of her, thou art always occupied, Tishke. Moreover, HaTorah, God's direction, instruction, the teaching of his majesty stays with such a man, not only during his lifetime, it will be with him even in the hour, the Iowa of his death. Said David, for that hour I pray, Shigayon le David, Shigayon of David, accordingly means, quote, the occupation of David, end quote. What do the words concerning the matter of Cush, the Benjamite, al divrei Cush ben Yamini, mean? According to Rav Chinena Bar Papa, David said, according to Genesis 39:7, he said, as the wife of Yosef's master accosted Joseph, saying, lie with me, in Genesis 39:7, and then complained, the Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought to us, to I and I, came in to me to mock me, in Genesis chapter 39, verse 17. So, Shaul, Saul, complained in 1 Samuel 22:8, Bini, my son, have stirred up my servant against me, against I, to lie in wait. And David went on, quote, even as the Cushite woman, the wife of Joseph's master, used lies against him, so Shaul, Saul, the Benjamite, used lies against me, against I. Rav Acha replied, quote, but it is not true that when a man requests Elohim to rebuff the insult offered to him, he will not be punished for such a request. Why then should David have spoken of his request as Shigayon, impulsive speech? Rav Chanina answered, because David rejoiced in song at the fall of Shaul, Saul, as is said, he sang La Yahuwah to Jehovah, Asher Shar La Yahuwah, concerning the matter of Cush the Benjamite, all of Divrei Cush Ben Yamini. Though it is written in Proverbs 24:17, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be he, said to Dawid, if Saul's fate had been thy fate, or if thy fate had been his fate, how many Davids would I have caused to perish for his sake? Yahweh Elohai Bika Chasiti Hosha'ini Mikol Rodfai with Hatzleini. O Jehovah, my Elohim, Yahweh Elohai, in the eye, Bika, Bika, do I take refuge, Bika Chasiti. Today's daily psalm, Hebraically Psalm 7, verse 2. Rav Yaakov, Jacob, said, since the numerical value of the letters in the word Bika, in the eye, male, Bika, equals 22, the word refers to thy Torah, Torateka, that is written with 22 letters of the Aleph Beit, of the Ivrit Aleph Beit, the Hebrew alphabet. Hosha'ini Mikol Rodfai with Chatzlein Pen Yitrof K'aryeh Nafshi Boreka Ve'ein Matzil, save I, lest they tear my soul like a lion. Pen Yitrof K'aryeh Nafshi Boreka, rending it in pieces, porek, while there is none, no one to deliver. Wayne Matil. Today's daily psalm, Psalm 7, 2b, 2, verse 3. Dawid said, like the lion who crouches over his prey and tears it to pieces, so Doeg and Ati Ahitofel, so Doeg and Ahitofel crouch over me, over I, to tear I the pieces. And Wayne Matzil, and there is none to deliver. In all the host of Saul, not even one man, not even one man, not even one man pleaded for my deliverance, for my deliverance. Yahweh Elohai, im asiti zot, im yesh avela bekapo, im gamalti sholmi ra'a, wa halsas oria rekam. Yeradofo oyeva nafshi Yahweh yasek. Jehovah my Elohim, Yahweh Elohai, if I have done this, im asiti zot, if there be iniquity in my hands, im yesh avela bekapo, if I have requited him that did evil, that did evil to me, that did evil to I, im gamaltia sholmi ra'a, if without cause I oppress, I downpress him that was mine enemy, make the enemy pursue my soul, my psyche, and overtake her. Wa echaltzat ori arekama yiradofo oyeva nafshi v'yasek. In scripture, such phrases as, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands. Im asiti zot, im yesh avela bekapo. Regularly introduce an oath, as in the verse from Job 31, verses 38 to 40. Quote: if my land crieth out against me, against I, and the furrows thereof weep together, if I have eaten the fruits thereof without money, or have caused the owners thereof to lose their life, let thistles make thistles grow instead of wheat, and cockles instead of barley. And if I have requited him that did evil to me. The word him refers to an Israelite. And if without cause I downpressed him that was mine enemy, the word enemy refers to any of the nations, the Goyim, the hostile Gentiles of the earth. In another comment, the verse is read, if without cause I stripped him that was mine enemy, wa echalsa tzori reikam. These words refer to the incident when, according to 1 Samuel 24 and 5, David arose and privily cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. Immediately, David's dovish heart smote him because he had cut off Shaul's skirt, according to 1 Samuel 24 and 5 and verse 6. According to Rav Yehuda, Judah, David said contritely, quote, so modest is Saul. Is there much difference to him between having his skirt cut off or Rosho, his head cut off? End quote. According to Rav Nehemiah, David said contritely, quote, in cutting off Saul's skirt, I prevented Saul for a time from wearing knotted fringes. Unaware that the skirt of his robe had been cut off, Saul looked for it and, not finding it, asked Abner, quote, where is the skirt of my robe? And Abner replied, it was torn off by a thorn bush. It is said that upon hearing Abner say this, David cried, shouted out after Saul, Abi, see the skirt of thy robe in Yadi, in my hands. From this we learn that honoring one's Chotein, father-in-law, is as much a duty as honoring one's father. Rav Nehemiah taught that David spoke the words Abi Re to Shaul, and the words Yay See to Abner. But the Rebbeinot, the rabbis, taught that he said Abi Re See to Abner, who was mighty as a lion, as an Aryeh in understanding of Torah, and that he said Yay See to Shaul. When David took away the spear and the cruse of water from near Shaul's Rosh, from near Saul's head, in the barricade where Shaul lay, David cried to Abner, answerest thou not, Abner? as if to say, quote, art thou not he who declared the skirt of Saul's robe was torn away by a thorn bush? The spear and the cruse, have they also been torn away by a thorn bush? Of this it is written. Of this it is written, 2 Samuel 3, verses 24 to 26. Joab came and said to David, why hast thou sent him away? Thou knowest Abner came to deceive thee. At once Joab sent messengers, and they brought Abner back on account of Bor-Sirah. It was Bor-Sirah, Abner's deception of Saul, with the story of the pit, the boar, and the thorn bush, Sirah, that brought it about that Abner was smitten by Joab. If without cause I oppressed, downpressed, and smote him that was mine enemy. These words of Arim are to be read in the light and illumination of what Scripture says elsewhere. What Scripture says in 2 Samuel 8 and 2. David smote the Moabites, making them lie flat on the ground. He measured them with a line. He measured two lines to be put to death and one full line to keep alive. For said Rav Yehoshua ben Lewi, Joshua ben Levi, the Moabites murdered David's father and mother and forced Ruth. But according to Rav Yehuda, Judah, the Moabites murdered David's father, mother, and also his brothers, and forced Ruth. And let make the enemy pursue Yiradof Oyev, and lay my glory in the dust forever, for Iva Ukavodi La Afar, Ukavodi La Afar Yashkin, Ukavodi La Afar Yashkin, and lay my glory in the Afar. Glory, Kavodi, stands for David's dynasty, stands for the Davidic dynasty.
Mm-hmm.